This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. Preliminary reports suggest an enemy drone that killed three American troops in Jordan Sunday may have been confused for a U.S. drone returning to base. AP correspondent Jennifer King reports.
The enemy craft flew in at a low altitude, U.S. officials tell the AP, and might have been mistaken for an American drone that was in the air at the same time. While the base in Jordan near the Syrian border, it does have counter-drone systems, there is no effort to shoot it down. A trailer where troops sleep was struck and surrounding trailers were damaged by the blast. More than 40 soldiers were wounded and three U.S. Army Reserve soldiers from Georgia were killed.
Sergeant William Rivers, Specialist Kennedy Sanders, and Specialist Breonna Moffitt.
Pentagon Deputy Spokeswoman Sabrina Singh.
This is an IRGC-backed militia. It has the footprints of Kitab Hezbollah.
National Security Spokesman John Kirby says President Biden met with national security advisors and is weighing options.
These groups, backed by Tehran, have just taken the lives of American troops.
Jennifer King, Washington.
The World Health Organization Tuesday called on international donors not to suspend their funding for the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, after allegations last week by Israel that a dozen of its 13,000 staff in Gaza were involved in the October 7th rampage. A string of countries, including the U.S., Canada, Germany, and Britain, have paused their funding to the aid agency in the wake of the allegations. UNRWA said Monday it would not be able to continue operations in Gaza and across the region beyond the end of February if funding were not resumed. In a virtual news briefing Tuesday, WHO spokesman Christian Lindmeyer said the organization runs shelters, health centers, and all things aid-related in Gaza.
Cutting off funding will only hurt the people of Gaza, who desperately need support. This discussion is vital. Of course, and criminal activity can never go unpunished. But the discussion right now is much of a distraction from what's really going on.
This is VOA News. A Pakistani court has convicted former Prime Minister Imran Khan of revealing official secrets and sentencing him to 10 years in prison. More from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
This is the latest in a slew of cases that supporters say are meant to sideline the imprisoned former cricket star just days ahead of parliamentary elections. The Islamist politician was ousted in a no-confidence vote in 2022. He's not on the ballot because he's already serving a three-year prison term, and more than 150 other cases are still pending against him. He nonetheless remains a potent political force because of his grassroots following and anti-establishment rhetoric. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Seven children, six of them students at an Islamic school, died this past weekend in Nigeria after trying to sell an improvised explosive device for scrap. Reuters correspondent David Doyle reports.
In the Gubbio area of northeastern Nigeria, scattered clothing and footwear marks the place where seven children were killed, aged between 7 and 11, by an improvised explosive device. And had mistaken the IED for scrap metal, village head Modu Jaware said on Monday.
They saw some scrap metal inside a bush and took it to their school. Later, a metal scavenger came with his wheelbarrow to buy it off them. During the process of compacting the metal, the IED exploded. The children didn't know.
Students at the Islamic school often sell scrap to local communities. It's located in Borno State, heartland of a long-running jihadist insurgency.
That was David Doyle reporting. February 1st will mark 3 years since Myanmar's military toppled the country's democratically elected government, setting off a bloody civil war that continues to tear the country of 54 million people apart. It will also be just over 3 months since the launch of Operation 1027, a major offensive by some of armed groups arrayed against the junta that has handed the military an unprecedented string of losses and redefined the war. A Japanese moon lander is up and running after several days without the sunlight it needs for power. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
Japan's first lunar mission made a precision touchdown earlier this month, just about 60 yards away from its target in between two craters. However, a last-minute engine failure made for a rougher-than-planned landing, with the spacecraft ending up the wrong way up. That left its solar panels unable to see the sun and unable to charge. Japan's space agency used battery power to gather as much data as possible, then turned it off to wait for the sun to rise higher in the lunar sky. Now awake, it's expected to have enough sun to operate for several Earth days. I'm Ben Thomas.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.